Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take my words and speak to each one of us. You know our needs. Open our hearts and our minds to receive from you. Amen.
Amen.
The church in Smyrna was in trouble. Smyrna was a proud and beautiful city, much influenced by Rome, and eager to meet the demands of emperor worship. Excuse me. To make matters worse, the Jewish population was actively hostile to the Christian church. One of the early Christian martyrs, Polycarp, was indeed bishop of Smyrna. Small wonder, then, that Jesus' message, passed on through John's vision, is one of encouragement. I just wonder how I would feel if the church here was under such pressure. As always, of course, we are in difficulty under the threat. But Jesus' message reminds us of the hope that we have through faith. Be faithful, Jesus says, even to the point of death. And then comes for what them and what is still for us today, the very heart of the gospel. I will give you the crown of life. And that hymn that we've just sung, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace, ends with these words, of course. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. So, the whole of that hymn is a powerful message for us today. More of that later. The message to Smyrna was brief and to the point. Jesus tells them that he knows that they are suffering and he knows that they are poor. But he tells them that they are in fact rich. He knows what they are suffering at the hands of their persecutors, especially the hostile Jews. Some of them will be tested, being sent to prison, and it seems that that will last for 10 days. And yet they are encouraged to stand firm, to remain faithful, even to the point of death. Jesus will give them the crown of life. And the meaning of this is not to be crowned as kings are crowned, but to receive the garland, the wreath, awarded to winners in athletic competitions. That's the word that's used there for crown. And yet, it is much more than a garland that Jesus promises. It is the crown of life. It is the promise of eternal life with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that is a prize beyond all earthly prizes that they or we could imagine. Well, what's this telling us? In this country, as in much of the so-called Western world, Christians are not persecuted or thrown into prison for their beliefs. However, in many countries around the world, they are persecuted, imprisoned, executed or killed for their faith. It should be a priority for us to support them in prayer in practical ways, for example, by supporting international charities. I'm not thinking only of charities that support those persecuted in faith. I'm thinking too of the many charities which work for justice and a fairer economic system. Charities which help families to earn a living by producing food and other goods they can sell to support their families. It makes me cross when governments cut back on those programs. Yes, we know that a lot of the aid ends up in the bank accounts of corrupt local politicians. We know that many governments are corrupt. The answer is not to cut back on the aid. It is to concentrate on those areas where it is best used. Just let us think about this when we decide who we vote for and what charities we support. Well, so far we haven't got to the place where for us the rubber hits the road. within our society, Christians are often seen as irrelevant. People think of us at all, they look at us as some sort of a deluded people who can't stand on their own two feet. We need a crutch to cling to, a crutch that is really knocked from under us by all the developments of modern science. So it goes on. They say we are desperately hanging on to an old faith which is no longer tenable. It's the oldest trick in the world to set up a parody of someone's beliefs and then knock it down. And what I've just been saying is indeed a terrible parody of the Christian faith. As Christians, we must know what we believe, why we believe it. We must demonstrate our faith in the way we live and the sort of people we are. The Bible contains many deep truths. The challenge to us is to understand and to live by them. And in doing so, we hope to make others think about what it is we believe and why we believe it. That certainly was my own experience. I wanted to know why Christians I met, especially here at St. Lawrence, were so happy and welcoming and caring. I wanted to learn more about their faith. And it really is all about faith. A poem in a book that someone lent me in those early days asked the question, did Jesus live and did he really say those burning words that banish mortal fear? And are they true? And that poem ends with something like this. Between the probable and proved, there looms a gap. Afraid to jump, we stand absurd. Then see before us sinks the ground, and worse, our standpoint, our very standpoint crumbling. Then dawns our desperate hope to leap into the word that opens up the shuttered universe. And what challenged me to make that leap was in fact the person of Jesus. A great man, a powerful preacher, a great moral teacher. Yes, he was all of those and more. He claimed to be the Son of God, to have authority to forgive sin. He promised eternal life for those who made the leap of faith and accepted him as their Saviour. And if those claims were not true, Jesus was at best deluded, at worst some sort of a con man. And I knew that he wasn't either of those. He must be who he said he was. And then he died in agony on the cross, deserted and reviled. And then there were rumours that he was alive again. Oh yes, say the mockers, well, the early church invented that. But why should they invent it? Disciples were frightened and disillusioned. They thought it had all come to nothing, and that they would be the next. And then they were out there preaching the gospel. They were ready to die for it, and many did. The explanation is, the only explanation is the one they gave, that Jesus had appeared to them, not as some sort of a ghost, but with what we can only describe as a resurrection body. And so they went on in faith. And that faith gave them the courage to withstand persecution, as the Christians in Smyrna did. We are all on a journey of faith. We are at different points on that journey, and we need to go forward together, helping one another, supporting one another. We need to explore the faith together. We need to pray together. We need to get behind our mission plan. We may not first face persecution as the church in Smyrna suffered, but we do live in a society that is increasingly secular, a society that needs to see a vibrant, active church, vibrant, active church families reaching out in love to those whom they meet. Jesus said to the church in Smyrna, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." He He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So let us hear. Let us pray. Let us listen. In chapter 8 of his letter to the Romans, Paul says, "The Spirit himself intercedes for us in groans that words cannot express. Come, Holy Spirit." Amen.